Okay, we start here at the top of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara now is going to take apart to dissect the Mishnah that we just discussed. It's likely the Girsa of the Bach is here. My time, Mishum Nikles just left out. Those words are extraneous. So the Gemara begins. Amar Rav Sheshet, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin the Ritzuah, Sheishel Egel. How do you know? The Mishnah mentions that we make the Ritzuah, the whip itself, we make it out of something that comes from the cow, something that comes from a calf. Dichtiv, because it says, Arba'im Yakenu, that by the Sukkim that deal with Makot in Parshat Ki Teitze, it says that Arba'im Yakenu lo Yosif, Ten Yosif Lakoto al Eila Makar Rabah, Vnikla Achicha Lenecha. The pasuk immediately after that is Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho. So with Lo Tachsom Shor B'Disho comes to teach you the Smicho de Parshio, the juxtaposition of these two Parshio teaches you that the Ritzuah that you use for the Makot comes from an Egel. So that's the first juxtaposition presented by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or Rabbi Sheshet Amar Rabbi Elazariah, is going to present a number of other juxtapositions that teach a din. Rabbi Sheshet Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Minayin li vama, shenafla lifnei mukesh shchin, she'en chosmim ota. How do you know, yivama, this woman who was married to an individual, she had no children with him, and then she, now he passes away, and now she has to marry, or is going to marry his brother, because he's the yabam, who's going to marry her, but he is mukeshchin, someone who is diseased in some way, someone unpleasant, and she doesn't want to go through with the yibam. Can he force her? The answer is, she'en chosmim ota, that we don't force her, she doesn't have to be locked in. Dichtiv, because here we just read the psukim before, which is arbim yakenu, then lo tachsom shor b'disho. Immediately after that is lo tachsom shor b'disho. Next pasuk is ki yeshu achim yachdav u'meit echad mehem. Ve'en lo tiyeh le'ish na'meit echutzu le'ishzar yivama yavo ala'ah. Uchalo isha v'yivma. So you have the parsha of yivama is on the other side of lo tachsom shor b'disho. So lo tachsom b'disho is after parshat of the makot and before parshat yibum. So here the Rabbi Sheshet Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is darshaning the juxtaposition of these parshiot in both directions. Lo tachsom shor b'disho tells me what I use for the whip. It also tells me don't be chosim a woman into a position where it's unpleasant for her, or it's going to be like if she's locked up in this case where she's forced to marry someone that she is not interested in. V'amar Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah kol mavazet ha-mo'adim kilu oved akum. It's another smicho de parshia that he's going to dash. And anybody who is mevazeh et ha-mo'adim. Over here, what mevazeh modim is, or much really should be mevazeh et ha-mo'adot, right? Rashi, or the Rivan here, says that it's cholo shomoed. Someone is mevazeh the din of cholo moed, which he said is learnt out from the pasuk. We're about to quote it. We learned out from this pasuk. The Rambam and others think that we're talking about literally the mo'adim themselves, not the cholo moed, but the mo'adim themselves. Dichtiv, it says, Elohei machaseicha lo tasedecha. It's in, right? So parshat kitisa that v'samech lei et chag hamatzot tishmor. And then right afterwards it says keep the chagim. So it tells you about Avodah Zarah, and then it tells you to keep the chagim. The juxtaposition of the two for what reason? To teach you that one who does not keep the mo'adot is as if he worships Avodah Zarah. And then the Rivan points out over here that the Gemara in Chagiga learns out from this pasuk about chol hamoed. Because it says, "In Berishon Bishviya Kohen Ermar," those already mark. Lo Bali Zir Al Choloshem Oed Chasur Basiyat Malacha. What's this coming to teach you about? So because of that, he says that it's speaking about Choloshem Oed. That a person has to be careful not to be mevazeh or treat Choloshem Oed in a manner that is not appropriate. I mean, that's something that still has some sense of moed to it, and not just the chol aspect of the Choloshem Oed. And for the Rambam, it means the moadim themselves. Which, of course, here we're talking about Chag HaMatzot, you're talking about the Shlosh Regalim, and the Shlosh Regalim also reflect these agricultural holidays at that time. So Mevazet Mo'adot could refer to the, right, making it into a harvest festival, making it into something that is secular in nature, rather than understanding the reason that we have these on those periods of agricultural significance is to give thanks to Hashem, to realize that Hashem is the one who is making this all happen. So Amar Rav Sheshet Mishum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, another case, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Kol Mekabel Lashon Hara, V'Kol Meid Edut Sheker Ra'uy L'Shlicho L'Klavim. So another, again, Smichut HaParshiot, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, listens, accepts Lashon Hara, or gives false testimony, Ra'uy L'Shlicho L'Klavim, it's good, it should be thrown to the dogs. Dichtiv, because it says La Kelev Tashlichuno To. Right, there it's talking about Nevila Trefa. We're talking about you throw it the Kelev Tashlichuno To. You give it to the Kelev, and then right afterwards it says Lo Tisa Shemashav. Do not right, accept any false reports. And then what they don't quote here, the Gemara says, we'll see in a second, is the end of that pasuk, which is Hamas. I mean, that's the second half of that pasuk. So that's the Edut Sheker part. And then the Lashon Hara, this first part, which is Lotisa Shemashav, is do not accept the false report. And Kari Beinami Lotasi. Not only Lotisa Shemashav, not only do you do that, but Lotasi. Right? Do not speak or accept, either way, a false report. And that's the Lashon Hara aspect of it. And that's in the Smichu Raparsha, the Caleb Teshlichu Notal, tells you that this person should be thrown to the dogs. Right now, Shtei Ritzuot. So not only were there the whip made out of cowhide of some sort, it also had little eds on it, or some sort of edges, a little, at the end, little strings, or it's not really strings, but they are leather made from the skin of a chamor. And the Gemara says, Tana Shel Chamor. So actually in our Mishnah, the Girsun our Mishnah is that they are Shtei Ritzuot that are Olim B'Yordimba. But there, our Mishnah also has that they are made out of chamor. It says Shtei Ritzuot Shel Chamor Alot V'Yordot Ba. But the Girsun the Mishnah probably does not have chamor in it. That was why they added in from our Gemara over here. Otherwise, why is the Gemara say Tana Shel Chamor, that they're made out of a chamor? The Mishnah says it explicitly. So most people say the Girsa in our Mishnah is not to have the word Chamor there, and that's what this Gemara is teaching us. Tana Shel Chamor. What are those two little Ritzuot made out of? Those two little hides or strings that are at the end of the whip, they are made from the skin of a Chamor. Right, so this, someone from the Galilean by the Rav Chista said, and this is what we're going to read, this is the Haftorah for Shabbat, Chazon, Yada Shur Koneu, Vechamor Avus Balav, Israel Lo Yadav, Velo Tizbonain, Amid Lo Tizbonain. So that the Navi in Yeshayahu in Perek Aleph is criticizing Bnei Israel and says that even the most basic, right, instincts of an animal is that Yada Shur Koneu, an ox knows his master, right? And Chamor of Usbalav, and the Chamor knows who feeds him, the trough of his owner. And he knows who's going to feed him and who takes care of him. But Israel don't even understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of them and he's their master. So over here, the Gemara only quotes it for Chamor of Usbalav, but he also have Yada Shor Koneu, that using the whole whip is made out of an egel and a chamor. So it's made out of the combination of those two items, which are, right, the criticism of the Navi, that person should understand. Here, someone who's getting malkot is getting it because he didn't, right, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's ignoring what Hashem said. So these two animals should come and take retribution that are you, these animals who recognize who their owner is and recognize who gives them what they need. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavol Shemisha Makir Avuz Balav, V'Yifrei Misha Enu Makir Avuz Balav. Right now, we said that in the Mishnah, Yada Tefach, that its handle is a Tefach long, and then we said the strings, or really the whip itself, is extended or retracted, depending on the individual that's there. And the reason for that is, as the Rivan explained in the Mishnah, is that we want to hit him across the back. And that even though it sounds from the Mishnah that the executioner is standing behind the individual who's getting punished, right, behind the person who's being sentenced over here, executed over here. Nevertheless, the truth is he does not stand immediately behind him, but to the side. And he whips him across the back. Not straight down his back, but across the back. And that's what it means, that the whip should reach across his back and then hit the side, the other side of him, where it would be the beginning of his criso, the beginning of his stomach. So you want to have the whip go across the whole back. So how do you do that? You can't, throughout the easiest way is to move the executioner's stool back and forth to have it. But they didn't do that. They wanted to extend or retract the whip. So how did they do this? So Merit says over here, that the we see from this that each one according to the size of his back do we make the whip. Oh, so different size whips. They had the small, big, medium, large, they had all these different ones. So the basin has a store of whips there that they have to go in and get it, doesn't make sense. Alama Rava, Avikta Itle, has some sort of loop or a grip, kibay mikdar bay, kibay mirfafi bay, that the handle has the ability to pull or release the, right, the whip itself, to extend it or to retract it through this handle or through this loop. So they had the ability to make it longer or shorter instead of having multiple whips. The one whip itself was adjustable, and therefore they could adjust it to the size of the, or to the individual that was there, in order that they can have it go across the entirety of the back of that individual. Alright, Malkin Hotel, Minahani Milet. Where do we know this? So Amar Rav Kana Damar Kra, because the pasuk says, "V'pilo ashofet v'kol lefanav kedei rishato b'mispar." Right, so that's the pasuk over here again. By "v'kol lefanav kedei rishato b'mispar" is the other pasuk. The other pasuk is "v'ayin ben hakot rasha v'pilo ashofet." Right. So here you have the, you're going to give him the whip. So what does that mean? So the Gemara dashes over here. What does that mean? Kedei lefanav kedei rishato. So the Gemara learns from this. Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Kana, Pilah Shvei Kol Fanav Kedei Shato Mispar Bishachat Milafanav Shtei Rishayot Miacharav. That Kedei Rishato, one section or one fraction of it is done Lifanav, but B'Mispar, the Mispar is done Miacharav. So that means one third in front, two thirds on the back. And the Rambam in the Perusha Mishnayot says that two thirds on the back means, which is interesting, the Rambam's understanding here, the Rambam says on each shoulder, one third on each, the right shoulder, and one third on the left shoulder. So I'm not sure if he switched sides, meaning that according to the way the Gemara is learning that, he whipped him across the back. I don't know if the execution actually switched sides, therefore it's a whip that would hit, you know, meaning if it hit the opposite side, depending on which side he was hitting from. So from the Rambam, it sounds like he's really directly behind him, and he's hitting on the back itself, rather than across the back. But you'd have to explain it based on this Gemara, that he, maybe the execution switched sides to hit across the back, so one third went on one side, and one third went the other side when it went across his back, and then you had a third that went from the front of the person that they're executing. All right, Ein Malkin Oto. So now we use a whip that has a doubling of the hide, the cow hide that's there. That you take that the rope of the rib and they double it over. How do we know that you double it over? How do we know that you have it? It's actually twice that we do it. Muchpelet. It's two shtayim shehein arba. You have two ropes of cowhide that you fold over and make them into two that become four at the end. Right. So it's shenemar v'hipilo. So we take the word hipilo. We're reading that the word hipilo, but like v'huchpilo. Right. Hipilo, that he doubled it rather than that he cast him over. We push him over. So Bamar says, "How many bale the gufe?" We already need the word. What do we know the word for hipilo? The Mishnah tells us that hipilo that you have to put in, he's not standing up straight. That we actually mutel, right? We make him bend over the eight that's there. So imkein lechtov kra yateu. A better word for that. You could have said yateu. So my hipilo, shmami natarte. Hipilo means both yateu and vichpilo means to double up the rope of the whip. So makeh, makeh biyado. If they hit with his hand, tarabanan. Ema medim chazanim ele chasire koach v'tirei meida. The chazanim over here that they established to do, basically the executioners, they pick weaklings, right, that are, you know, very bright or understand, they're well-versed in the halakha. So that, why would we do this? We do that so that the whipping will not be extreme, and that we give somebody that doesn't, can't give such force.
And it's, the
right, so Yitere Meida, which we're going to see in a second, right, the other opinion. Yitere Meida, and they should know what they're doing here, so they know how much, how hard, what to do in these cases. It's interesting over here with the Chazanim over here. Rashi, the Rivan on the Mishnah that says he doesn't know what the derivative or derivation of the word Chazan is. He's a Mishamesha Kahal. We know that in many places. The Mishnah in Yoma uses that as the Chazan on a Knesset. But where does the word Chazan come from? So he, Rivan says, I don't know. Although others say that the Marshal says that Chazan comes from the word Chozeh, someone who sees. In that, what is a chazan? He sees the tzarchei tzibur, sees what needs to be done. So that's what it comes from. The chazan comes from the word chozeh. That's the etymology of the world word. So Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda says, "Afili chasirei meida v'yuterei koach No need for weaklings that are bright. We don't need brain over brawn. You can have brawn over brain also. No problem. You can have any. Not that Rabbi Yehuda says you have to have somebody with brawn. It's just that it makes no difference. You pick whomever you know you want to be the executioner. Amarava kavate the Rabbi Yehuda mistavra. It makes more sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. If did, the pasuk says lo yosif pen yosif. And the pasuk says arim yakeno lo yosif. So, we're talking about brawn over brains. That's why you have to warn him. Don't hit too much. Don't do more than necessary. If we're talking about people who are very bright, brains over brawn here, why do you have to warn them? They know that you can't hit more than necessary. They know they can't go past that number. Says, it's only worth warning someone who really understands. I mean that you give, of course, azarot are given to people who can understand what the azarot mean. You don't give azarot to people who have no understanding of it. So it would be makes sense even to give azarah, or even more sense to give azarah to someone who knows what they're doing, just to remind them of what the Allah is in this situation. Tana, shumakbiya makbiya b'shtei yadav. When he raises the whip, he raises it with two hands. Shumaka makab yado achat. When he comes down with one arm. Day, right? Or the other gear says the teitim are azia, so that he should come down with full force. So that when he comes down, he should come down with full force and bikivun and directed. I mean that with one hand, the person is more accurate in terms of throwing. Right? You try to throw something with two hands versus one hand. It's obvious one arm or two arms. That it's obvious that the direct the kivun or the ability to be accurate is much more. So when you have you use one arm instead of two. And same thing with the force that you use. It's the force that you use when you want to bring it down with chuban. It's better with one arm than with two arms. And that's what David mentioned, that the Mishnah says you whip him b'chol kochol. Although again, the Rambam says not b'chol kochol. He says kedarko b'kodesh. He says b'mutza, right? A middle type of force that you use. Not too strong, not too hard, not too heavy. Just in the middle, just right. But you have to do it b'chol kochol. All right, akuret. We had this Mishnah says that they read the psukim when they are doing, when they're executing. So, Tanur Rabbanan, Agadol Shem Dayanim Kore, the head of the Beis Din is the one who reads the psukim. Asheni Monet, this next one below him, counts the number of Makot that have been given. Vashlishi Omer, Iko. He goes, hit him, right? That's it. Okay. Given the whip. Isman Shemakeh Miruba Marich. Isman Shemakeh Muetet Mikatzer. So, when he has a lot of Makot, he draws out the psukim. If he has only a few makot to give, he speeds up, does it fast, right? He davens. But we didn't learn in our Mishnah, Choser L'Tchilat HaMikra. Did we say before in our Mishnah that he can double up, go over it multiple times, right? Very similar to the Mishnah in Psachim. Mishnah in Psachim, when they used to say Hallel for the Korban HaPesach, it depended on how many people were there. If there were lots of people bringing in their Korban HaPesach, then they used to repeat the Hallel, right? There the Mishnah says they never got to the third Hallel in the third grouping of individuals. But they used to repeat the Hallel over and over again until everybody finished. Or if there were fewer people, they didn't have to repeat it. It's the same thing here. They repeated it. But here you're saying that no. Instead of repeating it, what do? You read slowly or you read quickly. So that's a stira. So Gemara says, mitzvah l'tzamtzeim. The mitzvah is to get it exact. V'lo tzimtzeim, if he was unsuccessful, chozer l'tzchilat ha-mikra, then he repeats. I mean, so the objective is to get it to be exact. Right. Right. They try to get it. They try to do it well. Right. They try to match up with what the gabbai lays out. You know, the times that he has up on the shtender. They try to make sure they get to the times. But if not, then they do it again. So they go back to the beginning of the. They go back to the beginning. So Tana Rabbanan Makar Rabba. So Ein Li Ela Makar Rabba. Makamuetet minayin. Right, so now we only know makaraba. Makaraba sounds like, number one, that you have to hit him b'chol kochol, but it also seems to me that makaraba means you give him a full set of makot, you give him a full arbaim. How do I know that you makamuetet minayin? How do I know that you can also give him a smaller number of makot, that you don't give him more? It says, tamalomar lo yosif. And really, here the gifts would probably be pen yosif. Right, don't give him more than necessary. So in came out tamalomar makaraba. So then why does the pasuk say here? It says, arbim yekenu lo yosif. Pen yosif lakoto ela makaraba. In case you give him too much, beyond what he should get, and then he will be right? Nikla, he will be caused to be embarrassed, denigrated, and therefore you shouldn't do this. So this Pen Yosef tells you, don't do too much, don't do beyond what is necessary. But then why do you need the words Makah Rabbah? Where's Makah Rabbah teach you there? The Meir al Rishonot, Shein Makah Rabbah, comes to teach you that whatever you do give him, you give him with full force, b'chol kochol. And that's what the Makah Rabbah. So Makah Rabbah is not defining how many Makot, but rather it's defining each Makah, what type of strength or power goes into it. It's Makah Rabbah, a full force type of hits, not that they are numerous hits, meaning that you go until you have Makah Rabbah. Extend, you know, meaning extensive or multiple hits beyond what is necessary for the situation. All right, now it's kalkel. The Mishnah says that if somehow that he urinated or defecated out of fear or out of the because of the whipping that's being done to him, then we puter him right away because it says v'ikla achicha le'enecha. So the whole point of the Makot is this clone that's caused here, v'nikla, that the person will be in some way denigrated, embarrassed, right, and feel a sense of shame. So that sense of shame can either be created through the makot, or something that is a derivative of the makot, caused by the fear or the makot themselves, but that denigration is enough, right, to be poter, to give him the kapara that he needs over here. So Tan Rabbanan, Echada Ish, Vechada Isha Birei, Velo B'mayim, Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says if one defecates, that is, right, that's enough to be embarrassment. B'mayim, I mean, if one urinates, that's not enough to be embarrassment. That's whether a man or a woman. V'yudu Omer, Aish Birei, comes to a man, he has to defecate in order to be embarrassed. V'isha B'mayim, and a woman is can urinate even, and that's enough of an embarrassment to stop the execution. Achamim Omim, Echad Aish, V'echad Aisha, Ben Birei, Ben B'mayim. I mean, it makes no difference. We're gender neutral, and it does not matter whether it's defecation or it is urination. Either one of those is sufficient to be embarrassing, and the person, we release them right away. Don't we have Rabbi Yehuda sounding exactly like Rabbi Meir? So it says, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Shneim Shavin Berei. Not that the man and the woman are freed by Rei and only Rei, but rather when it comes to Rei, that's the common denominator. Both of them are freed by Rei, but the woman's also freed if she urinates as well. Amar Shmuel Kaftul, if they tied him down to be executed onto the stump that they're using to execute him on, Viratz mi Beit Din, and then he runs away. Patur. At that point he's Patur because obviously, Shmuel believes that the running away from Beis Din is an embarrassment. The fact that he's already tied down to the, you know, execution stump, and they're about to hit him, and he runs away, that embarrassment, that denigration that he's suffering, that's enough to be considered as if he got his makot. Meitevei, kala. Now, the word, they can use the word here, kala, not to mean light, but kala from the word v'nikla achicha l'necha. Here, the clone, from the word clone, or something that is, right? It is kal, but it's kal, not that he's light, but kal, that he's being treated in a light manner, that he's, we're not considering his feelings, his embarrassment, his emotions over here. So, kala, ben birishona, ben bishna, potrimoto. If he's already embarrassed, whether it's on the first time or the second time, potrimoto. Now, the first and second time over here, it's not clear what the first and second means. The Rivan learns first and second is that when they put him up to whip him and they raise it, right? So that if he gets it, kol kalat chila, right? That's it. When he pulls it up, that's what the count that we're talking about here. The Ritva, I think, and others talk about the actual whipping. If he's hit once or he's hit twice. Remember, and others have a understanding that the Rishonah and Shniyah here means that there are two sets of makot that he's getting. It's two sets of arbaim. So ben Rishonah, ben Bishniyah means whether it's the first set or the second set of makot. So meitvei kala ben Rishonah ben Bishniyah potrimoto. Nifsaka ritzua, if the whip breaks, Bishniyah potrimoto, Rishonah in potrimoto. And the second one, we do release him. On the first one, we don't. We'll go with the Rivan's pshat that we're talking about here, the number of times. So b'nikla, if he somehow embarrasses himself by defecating or urinating on themselves, then we release him right away. That doesn't matter whether it's the after, you know, after the, according to the Ritva, after the first whip of the second one, according to the Rivan, when he raised it the first time to hit him, or he raised it the second time. Because already he's in the state of fear. When he raises it the first time, he already is in that state of fear. If that causes him to be unable to hold himself back and he urinates or he defecates, that's already enough of an embarrassment. Ritva requires you to actually hit him. And then again, the Rambam talks about sets of makot, that he already needs to be hit at least one set of makot already before it's considered. Now, Nifsaka Ritzua, if the brakes, right, if the whip breaks, then Bishnia Puchimoto. If you're already at the second one, according to the Rivai, means you're raising it the second time, and according to the Rivai, you actually gave him the second hit over here, then Berishona Ein Puchimoto. But the first one, you do not release him. Only after the second one. You have to have at least some sort of whipping. You have to have some sort of effect on him before the whip breaks, then we say, okay, you can release him. So am I. Why is that? L'havei k'ratz. Why is it any worse than rats? If you tie him down to the post, and then he runs away, that's enough. Sir, why here, if he had the whip breaks, why don't we say the same thing? It says, hatam rats, achalo rats. That's exactly right. Over there, he ran away. That's the embarrassment. That is the kapara, because he had to run away. He had to try to escape. That embarrassment's enough to be the kapara. Over here, when the whip breaks, nothing happens. They didn't even start. They didn't even do anything. So how can you consider it? According to the refinal, they didn't do anything. How can you consider that? That he's embarrassed. Nothing happened yet. And so, therefore, if the whip breaks, we continue. But if the whip breaks during the makot, he's already suffered some form of embarrassment, that's enough to say we stop. Tan Rabbanan. Amdua lishiki yoke yikle et pochimoto. Ulushi yetzemi beitin kala malkinoto. So now, if they are amdua shiluke yikle, if they assess this person's state of mind or state of being, that if they bring him to whip him, they bring him in to execute him the proper sentence that he is to get, as soon as they bring him in, he's going to lose his control, and he's going to urinate or defecate on himself. That's what they assess. In that case, pochimato, we let him go. Because that's already enough of a embarrassment. The fact that at that moment he's going to go and he's never even get past that moment, we release him, we never take him in. L'shiyetzemi Beit Din, right? If we assess that after we whip him, he's going to leave Beit Din and then urinate to defecate on himself, meaning that he will lose control as soon as we finish, then malkinoto, then we do whip him. V'lod, efilu kala b'tchila. Right, even if he is going to be kala b'tchila in the beginning of the process, meaning that before he gets any whipping, he's going to get it, right, we still give it to him afterwards. So we'll explain this in 1 second. This is different. The other case was where they assess up front that he's going to be kala before they start, or at the moment they start, he's going to be kala. There they release him. But here, where they did not assess that, but they just brought him to bring him to whip, and on his way to the stump, he defecates or urinates on himself, then we do not release him. Because it has to be that the embarrassment happens at the point of execution. If it's before the point of execution, then we don't consider that to be at the point of, or in place of the Malkot. So he has to be at the stump, he has to be ready to be executed in order for it to be meaningful in that way. Why? That he has to be brought there, and then only then, right, and not that he was already hit in Beis Din, meaning that laka here doesn't mean hit, but laka means that he got his embarrassment in the Beit Din. It's in the Beit Din. When he's still, before he comes out to the execution, he's still in the Beit Din over there. That's not enough, because it has to be Viko and Nimikla Chichalenecha. The clone has to come from Viko. It has to be in the Parsha, or the Mizgeret, right, the framework of the execution. Can't be that he's back in Beis Din, he's back already before he started. Right, but there, he's already tied on the stump, and he's raising, according to Rivan, he already raised the whip. Right, that's what the Rivan clarifies, when he says that he's in the fear of getting the Makot, that's what's happening. But that's at least he's in the context of the Makot. The fear is before he ever walks out of Beis Din, that's not enough, because that's not yet in the context of the punishment that's being given over here. Okay, next Mishnah, it's a very famous Mishnah. Chochaivei kritot shalaku, not this part of it, the end of it. Chochaivei kritot shalaku niftaru. So then, anybody who is chayav karet, if he gets makot, he's patur. Patur yidei kritatam, they no longer are chayav karet, shenemar, b'nikla achicha le'enecha. Kishalaka, harihu ke'achicha. Once he's hit, once he is embarrassed, once he is punished, harihu ke'achicha, now he's like your brother, meaning that he returns to his former state, and he's no longer chayav karet. Divrei Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Rama Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, ma ima uvera vera achat notel nafsho aleha. Someone who violates one single avera can lose his life for it. And over here, for karet, It's going to lose life over one avera. Hoseh mitzvah achat. Achat kama v'kama. Then one who does a mitzvah, certainly so, in the Rivan quotes over here, that his life will be granted to him. Quotes the idea that the midah tova is mubah mi midah ra'ah, 500 to 1, which is because by the midah ra'ah it says, right, pukeda bono vot abanim ashileshim bi'al rivim. Rivim is 4 generations, but when it comes to the tova, it says, oseh chesed la alafim. So it says the minimum of alafim is 2, is alpayim, would be 2,000. So we're talking about a relationship of 4 to 2,000, that's 500 to 1 of the Midat Tovah. But he ends off with a line there and he says, that's all if you assume that Alafim merely means Alpayim. But if Alafim is really what he thinks is Pashtuta Pasuk, Alafim means forever, then he says the number is infinite. The good is so much greater than the bad. Reshimon Omer, Mimkomohu Lomid. We can learn right out from that location. What do you mean? Why do you have to learn it out from the case of, okay, mitzvah beira? We can learn it out from the whole parsha of karet. That is because it shed nemar v'nichrutu anefashot ha'asot. People do the, there's a summary of the parshat ha'arayot that in achremot, that anybody who does any of these items will be get karet. Vilmer, but it also says there in the beginning of the parsha, Arayot, it says, these are the mitzvot that share se odam adam v'chai bahem. These are the mitzvot that a person keeps that he will live by them. What mitzvot are they referring to? Ha kolo yoshev lo var v'ira notlim los charkosem mitzvah. It says, the pasuk says, se odam adam v'chai bahem, and then what does it say afterwards? Ish ish el kol she'er bisaro. It comes right afterwards, the parsha of Arayot. So what does it mean, se odam? The mitzvot that I do that will keep me alive. Well, what are you doing here? None of the mitzvot here are doing. They're all refraining. These are all lotaseh. Right? All these are lotaseh. They're all negative commandments. If they're negative commandments, why does it say, Asher yaseh utam adam b'chaybim? So that's the drosha of Rabbi Shimon. That what, even when you refrain from doing an averah, it's considered as if you did actively did a mitzvah. It's as oseh mitzvah. So therefore, Ayushev, v'lo v'arvira, no din moskar ke oseh mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe omer, Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, says, Harei hu omer. Rech chazak debilti achol adam. Right, be strong and don't eat blood. Ki adam hu anofesh, because the blood is the soul of the animal. Ma im adam shenafsho shel adam katzam imena. It's disgusting to people. Nobody would think about drinking blood. Apureish imenu mekabel skar. And yet, what does the Torah say? Chazak, be strong. Don't do it, and you get the great reward. Gezel v'arayot shenafsho shel adam mitaveh la'en. It comes to theft and arayot, which a person desires, that a person wants to do. It's interesting here that gezel is including this arayot, we know. I mean, chalavim and arayot, I would say, is something that's anah. But over here, the Gemara quotes gezel v'arayot. That's an idea that gezel and arayot, things that people are steeped in, people that are have a desire for. So mechab datan, and he wants them, desires them, if for separating from Dam you get such reward, then separating from things that are really a challenge, that are really tempting or a temptation, then for sure the schar will be and much more, or even infinite, compared to that. So here's the famous part of the Mishnah, which is Rechananya ben Akashia Omer, Atzah Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakot et Yisrael, Shem wanted to give Zchuyot to Yisrael, Lefika Chirblem Torah u'mitzvot. Therefore, he made many mitzvot, he gave us numerous mitzvot and Torot, not multiple Torot, but multiple Parshiot of that Torah, Shinemar, Hashem Chafetz, Hashem wants, Aman Sidko, right, for the tzedek, for the righteousness, for the goodness, Yagdil Torah Yadir, and therefore he expanded his Torah, and therefore they will be held in high esteem. So now the Rivan explains, what does it mean that Hirbalem Torah mitzvot? So he says, the Zakah Yisrael Kadeshia Mekablim Schar b'meshimonim atzman min averot. So he continues, he reads it as being a continuation of what Rabbi Shimon said before. Rabbi Shimon said before that if you refrain from an averah, then you get a reward, and that's what it says, if you did the mitzvot. And also the second statement of Rabbi Shimon by Rabbi was that if you don't eat the dam, you get a reward, achat kama kama, and things that you refrain from. So over here, the Rivan says that Hashem gave us many lotaseh, many negative commandments, so that's why if you just do nothing, you'll be mekayim mitzvot. Right? You don't have to. These aren't things you have to do acting for. You just have to refrain. So shevat haaseh, all of a sudden you have, 365 lotaseh that you're able to accomplish without doing anything, without making any taking activity, and that's the idea over here. So that's what the Rivan says. Shlo yatzarich l'tzavot, kama mitzvot. So many of the lotuses we don't need. Kama zarot ashkatzim, right? Bin veilot she'en lecha dam she'en kit katzvim. It's all these creepy crawly things, bugs, and all these things that we're told not to eat, and yet. Wait, why do you need that? It's obvious. Nobody's going to bother to eat these things. Nobody's going to want to eat these things. So nevertheless, the Torah gives us a mitzvah so that we get mekabel schar on the fact. From here, that's the Rivan's pshat. Here you have the very famous Rambam. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnayot, right, gives his famous interpretation of what the meaning over here is. So he says, Mikare amuna b'Torah. One of the fundamental beliefs of the Torah is that when a person keeps one of the 613 mitzvot, ra'ui ukehogen, does it properly, and it's lo yishtav teif ba ima kavana mikuvenet, right? Ha'olam b'shum panim. He has no nitiya ishit. He has no personal interest. He doesn't do it for any ulterior motive. Elo she'aseh to lishma mi'ahava. Does it out of pure love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like I explained to you, that gives him the chance to go to Olam Haba. Since we have so many mitzvot, it's impossible that a person can't do at least one mitzvah properly. But properly and in its fullness. And through that mitzvah, he'll give himself everlasting life, meaning he'll get himself to Olam Haba, according to the Rambam, which is the everlasting life of the neshama, that is Tzur B'Tzurachim, that's connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, so Ma Yishirel Kazen, he brings an example that they asked Rabbi Hananya ben Trajon, oh, Mani L'Chayel Olam Haba, and they answered, Kumba Mas Eliyadcha, did you ever have something that came to your hand where you did it? And he says, yes, one time, I did a mitzvah of tzedakah properly, b'shlei muta. That's the same idea here, that to do a mitzvah b'shlei muta is what our objective is. The way you can do a mitzvah b'shlei muta, the gift that Hashem gave us, is He gave us so many mitzvot, that you can at least find one mitzvah that you're going to do b'shlei muta u b'mat kumta. That's the idea. Many Gedolim speak about this, about Emosar's B'yad, that people should, you know, adopt the mitzvah. They should have a mitzvah that is identified with them, that there is their mitzvah, that they're known for as their mitzvah. Right, you know what I mean? Whether it's, you know, Sudah Shlishit or Makpid on certain mitzvah that the person's always Makpid on, people should associate with them that it becomes their mitzvah. They acquire, they own a mitzvah. Right. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Chalukin Alav Chavirav Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. Yeah, Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel's friends, meaning the Chachamim, disagree with Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. It says that the Makot take care of the Kritot. So now Amar Rav Adar Bar Ava, Amar Bei Rav. What do we need this memra for? Taninan. It's a Mishnah. It's an explicit Mishnah that we know that the Chachamim disagree. Why? Because it says in Megillah, Ein Ben Shabbat Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. It says, Don't know Bidei Adam. Said that the punishment for Shabbos comes. Bidei Adam, but says don't be karet. And the other one, the punishment is be karet, ti karet. It's a punishment of karet. So that's the difference. Now, by the way, the interesting here, the Rivan points out, ikaret, ikaret is not a noun. It's not, you would have thought, bezez dono b'ikaret. Zdono b'idei adam means that you are punished at the hands of man. Right, so that would be, over here it says dono b'ikaret. Right, really, the word ikaret is not, he says, not a noun, it's really the verb. Ikaret, tikaret, you will be cut off. Right, so that's the lashon here. He says they borrow the lashon from the pasuk, but not that that means that the word itself does not mean it should be says don't know bikarate really. It's not by hikarate. It should be don't know bikarate. So he says they just use the term that is the lashon of pasuk. Bemita idi v'ide bidei adam hu. If you're right, if Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel is correct, then both punishments are bidei adam. Why? Shabbos skila, Yom Kippur makot. So there you go, bidei adam. So Rav Nachman, Omer Hamani, Rabbi Yitzchak. No, do you know who the author of this Mishnah is? The Mishnah Megillah is authored by Rabbi Yitzchak. Do you remember Rabbi Yitzchak? Rabbi Yitzchak is the one who believes that Chayvei Kritot don't get Malkot. Right, Amar Malkot b'Chayvei Kritot Laka. There is no Malkot when it comes to Detanyo, bring the Limud, Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer, Chayvei Kritot b'Chlalayu, Chayvei Kritot are all included. Lama Yatzdat Karet b'Achloto. Why did Karet b'Achloto come out? Ladunu b'Karet, to teach you Karet, velo b'Malkot. And not in Malkot, the Rashi learned it. Again, why all the Arayot have a din of Karet, and why did you specify by Achuto that it's an exception and also say the word Karet there? You have it from the general principle Karet by Arayot. Tosfot and learns, no, that's not the way to read it, but it means that Kol Chayvei Kritot Bechlal Hayu, all Kritot, means all Kritot in the Torah, were included in getting Makot. They should have gotten Makot. Ah, Lama Yotzlat Bachoto, why is there a specific word Karet mentioned Bachoto? To teach you that Chayuvei Karet get Karet, and not Makot at all. So that's what Tosfos learns the Gemara back in, when we mentioned Rabbi Yitzchak back on Yud Gimel. Alright, so now, Ravashi Amar, no, Afilu Teimar Rabbonon, Rabbonon can be author of this Mishnah. Zei Karz Dono Bidei Adam. Zei Karz Dono Bidei Shemaim. Let's look at the, what is the main punishment here? By Shabbos, the main punishment is Skilaz Bidei Adam. The main punishment for violating Yom Kippur is Karet. Now, Enochanami, that instead of Karet, you can get Makot to take care of it. But there's still Karet happens right away. Your Chayav, one is Chayav Karet, if they violate Yom Kippur. So therefore, it's Ikar Zdono Bidei Shemayim. That's the main focus is the punishment Bishemayim. Not that to say that there is no punishment Bidei Adam. So Amarav Adabrav, Amarav, Halocha Ki Rabbi Chananya Ben Gamliel. The Halocha is like Rabbi Chananya Ben Gamliel, that Makot, take care of Karet. Amarav Yosef, Man Salik Le'elo of Atov Amar. So Yosef says to, you know, Rav Adabrav, well, how do you know? How do you know that when someone gets Makot, they're patur from Karet at this point in time? Who went upstairs? Who went up to Shemayim and found out that this person is no longer Chayim Karet? Where do they know that from? This is something that's relegated to Beis Din Shalmala. How do we know anything about what Beis Din Shalmala thinks? So here's Amar so Abaye responds, Amar Abaye, Elohad Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shlosha Dvarim Asu Beit Din Shalmata. Three things were instituted by courts down here. V'iskimu Beit Din Shalmala Yadam, and the Beit Din Shalmala agreed. Mansalik Le'elo Ba'ato. So in that case, who went up to find out and knows it? V'amar, Ela Karai Kardashinan. They learned it from the Psukim. Hachanami over here, we're Karai Kardashinan. We're learning out of the Pasuk. Right, that the person who gets makot is no longer chayav karet. And that's what we learn from Nikla Chicha Lehenecha. That's the, if he's a ben in Kota Rasha, you get it. But after he's Nikla, after he gets his punishment, Achicha is your Chicha, he's no longer subject to karet. Gufa, so what is this, Reb Shu ben Levi? I'm Reb Shu ben Levi, Shlosha Dvarim, Asu Beit Din Shamat, V'Iskimu Beit Din Shamala Yadam. What are these cases? Elohein, Mikra Megillah, institution by Chazal of reading the Megillah, She'elat Shalom B'Shem, greeting someone with the Shem Hashem, and Vavat Maser, and the bringing of Maser. So Gemara is going to go through each one of these. Mikra Megillah, which the Chachamim is a din derabono dichtiv, because it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu ayudim. So we know that it's Kimu mashikiblu kvar. That's what the normal drasha that we think, is that this was a reaffirmation of Brit Sinai. But over here, the Gemara has another drasha with it. It's Kimu v'kiblu ayudim, kaimu l'mala mashikiblu l'mata. They gave a stamp of approval above, right, they were mikayim. They gave lasting a stamp of approval to it above what they did below, mashkiblu lamato, what they had accepted below, which was the kriyat ha-megillah and the din of Purim. V'sheilat shalom, how do I know that you do sheilat shalom b'shem Hashem? So ichtiv, it says by Boaz, hinei Boaz bav mibeit lechem by yomer lekotzrim, he says to the people working as the harvesters, Hashem imachem. Right, so he says, Hashem should be with you. Hashem imachem is with you. So that, you see that he greeted them, and he used the Shem Hashem to greet them. And anybody, if you go to a Sephardi shul, this is what they say. By the way, before they start the Aliyah, they say, right, Hashem, Yivarechcha Hashem, right, Hashem imachem, and then the Kaal responds, Yivarechcha Hashem. So there is this idea of using these sukim and using the Shem Hashem. The Omer, but also says Hashem Imcha Gibor Chayo. It says when the Hashem speaks to Gidon, when the Malach comes to speak to Gidon to tell him that, basically to inform him that he's going to be the next Shofet and he's going to be taken over here, it says Hashem Imcha Gibor Chayo. Hashem is with you. Agree, amen. So my Omer, why say Omer? If you want to say that Boaz did it, but who says that up above they agreed with him? We have no stamp of approval from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All we know is that Boaz did it. So Tashma, Omer, Hashem Imchal Gibor Chayil. We see that Hashem himself used that same idea when he came to speak to Gidon. When the Malach comes in, he says Hashem Imchal Gibor Chayil, and he used the Shem Hashem when he's greeting him in that manner. Now here, what the greeting is actually, the Rivan brings down two possibilities of what the greeting here is. Is the permissibility here is to use the Shem Hashem, and it's not considered a Shem Hashem levatala, to greet someone with like Hashem Yimachem. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that there's a demand, not that it's your choice, but there's a demand on you to greet people with the Shem Hashem. Ah, so how do we do that? We use the word Shalom. The word Shalom, which includes the Shem Hashem, right, so that the, therefore we do masker. That's what we remember. It says, Vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. Over there it says by the Mizbeach that Gidon built, and he calls him Hashem Shalom, L'Shem Hashem, right, in the name of Hashem. So there we see that the Shem Shalom is the Shalom is being used to be or represent the Shem Hashem. Therefore, when we greet each other with the word Shalom, you're greeting with the Shem Hashem. So here it's not optional, but you're supposed to do it. It's a proper way to greet. And how do we accomplish that? We accomplish that by using the word Shalom. Vat Maser, what is the case of Vat Maser? We must say, Dechtiv Abiyu, it's called Maser, El Beit HaOtzar. It's familiar, this is the Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol. Bring all the Maser to the Beit HaOtzar, to the silos, the storehouses. Vayit Teref, Bibeiti, right, there will be food and plenty. I mean, there will be what to eat in the house. Right, when I'm kind and I look favorably on this. If I do not open up the storehouses of heaven, and I will give you a bracha, blessing, ad bli dai, until there's no end. My ad bli dai. Rabbi Barav, ad shivlu siftu techem ilomar dai, till your lips are worn down from saying enough, enough, enough. I mean, it'll be so plentiful that people were saying it's enough, it's enough. Now gave this pasuk, but never explains what is the Havat Maser over here. So Rivan brings down two possibilities, not mutually exclusive, it might be true for both, is that when Ezra came back from the Golah, and they came up to Eretz Israel, came up to Yerushalayim on their way, they do a count, and they realize that amongst them there are no Levim. So therefore, Ezra, when he says, sees that no Levim came with him, he awards the matnot of the Levim to the Kohanim. So there a question in Machlokas HaTanaim over there, what that means. Does it mean that the Levim, the Kohanim are permitted to take it? And that's Midoraisa even, the Kohanim were permitted beforehand? And Ezra's Gzeirah was simply that now they get to take it and not the Levi? Or is it that Ezra actually permitted the Kohanim to take it? That was the first time that there was his own Dindoraisa, but rather this is the permission that he gave them. So the Tzar is allowed to eat it, and he awarded it to the Kohen. That's like Beis Din Efker, Beis Din Efker, that he's allowed to do that, to change ownership over here. So that's a subject to Machlokas Tanaim, exactly what's happening here. But that's what we're talking about here, the Maser. Beit Din Shamata was Gozer, Ezra's Gozer, that the Maser is no longer given to the Levi, but rather given to the Kohanim. And that's where the Hiskimo Beit Din Shamala, how do we know that? Because it says, Vavit Kol Masar El Beit HaOtzar. That you bring all the Maser to the Beit HaOtzar. Where's the Beit HaOtzar here? Beiterep Beiti. Or in my house. Which house we're talking about here? We're talking about the house of Hashem. That you bring the Maser to the house of Hashem. Why would you bring the Maser to the house of Hashem? Because that's where the Kohanim are. So that's where you're bringing it up to the Beit HaOtzar. Up to the storehouses of the Mikdash, so that the Kohanim will partake in it. Now the other option was in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara brings down, Ravan brings this other possibility, by the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, they would go there, that the Maser was given to the Kohanim. Over there, it goes there only on Maser Derabanan. Maser Derabanan, which would be Maser Perot and Maser Yerek. Maser Perot and Yerek, which would be Derabanan, they were goes there to give it to the Kohanim and not the Levim. The Gam Chizkiyahu, I'll read you the Ravan, he actually says both things, which is, Gam Chizkiyahu, Asam Okomoken, Ikhin Lishkot, Lavi Kolam Asrot Ben, Kadesh Lo Yikablim, and Levim. He established storehouses up in Yerushalayim, so Levim would not get them, Shayu Akum, they were intermarrying. Bayomer Chizkiyahu Achin Lishkol Bevet Hashem Yachinu Veviyu Et Chuma Veet Maaser Gam Hu Tikein Lalot Yerushalayim Maaser Yerek Umaaser Ilan, instituted the Maaser Derabanan, and he also eliminated the Levim from collecting on it because the Levim were no longer Jewish or either not keeping the mitzvot. Whatever the problem was, they were not worthy of receiving the Maaser. Okay, now next set. Amar Rabbi Elazar Begimu Makamot Ofia Ruach Hakodesh. Three times that the Ruach Hakodesh appears or gives it here almost like a stamp of approval, acquiescence to something. The Beit Dino Shal Shame, but Beit Dino Shel Shmuel Ramati, or Beit Dino Shel Shlomo. Beit Din Shel Shame. When is that? Dichtei Vayaker Yehuda Vayomer Tzadka Mimeni. When Yehuda sees his right at the Chotem, the Ptila, and the Skid, his Makel, he receives all his items, and he says, she's right, Tamar's right, tzedka mimeni. So he said, what do you mean, tzedka mimeni? She's more righteous than me, but tzedka mimeni, it's from me, this baby. How does he know this was a baby? If she was a zonah and slept with Yehuda, who says she didn't sleep with other men? How does Yehuda know that it's his baby? He said tzedka. The Ruach HaKodesh comes out and says mimeni. Right? It came from me. Who's mimeni? It means it came from me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I did this on purpose in order that they should be mamit tzaddikim from the line of Tamar and the line of Yehuda. Tamar was tsunah bebeit aviya, and Yehuda who has the malchut. The combination of the two should produce a child. So it's a mimeni yatsu kvushim. That the idea here that it was mine. I caused it to happen. That's what the Kosh Baruch Hu says. It says so that Dvarim Ne'amalim Alalu, these hidden things, Mitu Yatsu, they came from me. But the other Lashon that the Rivan brings down is Yatsu Mimeni Kvushim, means these two children will come out of me, will conquer the whole world. And that is David HaMelech and Mashiach, two kings that will come out from here that will conquer the entire world, from the word Kavush, right, to conquer. Versus the first interpretation, which is the word Kavush, Kavush, not to mean conquer, but to hide or suppress. By the way, the Rivan points out that Shem was not alive when this happened. That's why it says Beit Din Shel Shem. I mean that just like we call it Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, this was Beit Din Shel Shem. It means that the students and Aver, those that continued the word of Shem, but not literally that Shem was there at that point in time. Shivat Hebron, even though it's not a Hebron. Right, Beit Dino Shel Shmuel, Beit Din of Shmuel, Dichtiv, Inine, Anu Bi Neged Hashem, Neged Mishicho, Et Shor Mi Lakachti. So over here, you know, Shmuel at that time period says, listen, I want to make an accounting here before you. I want you to tell me, is anybody here, did I take anything, did I mistreat anybody, did I take anything wrongly from anybody? You didn't take anything from us, not against our will, it's nothing wrong. Vayomer Eid Hashem ve'Eid Mishicho, right? That's it. Or it's really Vayomer Aleihem Eid Hashem b'chem ve'Eid Mishicho Ayom Azeh. Kilo Tzedem Bi Yadi Miuma. Let Hashem be an aid that you found nothing wrong with me. You found nothing in my hand. Vayomer Eid. Amar says Vayomer. It should be Vayomru Bi Ba'Elei. Bnei Yisrael responding to Shmuel. It's in the plural form. It should be Vayomru Eid. That is an aid. They're acquiescing. They're accepting. Why is it doing this singular? Yatzat Ba'Kol V'Amra Ani Eid B'Devar Azeh. But what comes out is the one. It's not Vayomru because it's Vayomer. Came from Minashamayim and said, Eid. It's right. I'm the Eid. I'm a contestant by the fact that Shmuel was honest to the absolute degree. What's the Beit Din of Shlomo? Dichtiv. Give the woman the live child and do not kill him. This is the case with the famous kid. Two women come up and they're arguing about who the baby is, and Shlomo says, cut him in half. And then one woman screams out and says, no, don't do it, give it to her. So that he knew it was the real mother. So he's kihimo, how does he know it was his mother? Right? Maybe she was. It was tricking him. He was lying. She knew that if she cried, it would make her look like the real mother. By the way, the first time it happened, or never. Again, if you did this case again, everybody know to cry to know that it's a real baby. Because Shlomo Melech, the first time that happened, the first time to do this, she didn't know to be Mirume. But the Gemara says, there's a possibility. Maybe they did. Mirume Mirame. Yatsa Batko Vamra, he imo. The Batko comes up and says, this is the mother. So I'm a Rabbi Mimai. How do you know? I disagree with you, Rabbi says. Rabbi says, in all these cases, you think that you need the Batko to come out and because there's some problem. So Gemara says, Dilma Yuda came into Chashim Yarchem Yome. Yuda did a quick calculation. He did a back of the envelope calculation. How many months and days has it been since I slept with Tamar? Well, you know what? He dropped me. So that came out. It worked out that it was him. That it worked out perfectly. Months is exactly when he last slept with her. But so if that's the case, then he knows it's him. It says, "Dechazinan mechazkinan." The lo chazinan lo mechazkinan. Somebody we know about will be given a chazakah that it's him. Yehuda, we know slept with her, and we know that the dates are working out. So therefore, we say we assign that culpability to him. Lo chazin. If we don't know about anybody else who slept with her, we're not all going to send introduce that possibility if we don't know it for certain. Shmuel nami. Kulu Yisrael, kari lehu b'lashon yichidi. Bnei Yisrael, many times in the Navi, are called by the singular form, which is very important, because many of the Christian missionaries use the Lashon Yachid in the Navi to show that it can't be referring to Israel, but rather referring to their Jesus. And therefore they say some of the Psukim in Yishayahu refer not to Bnei Israel because it's written in the singular. If it was talking about Bnei Israel, it should be written in the plural. So that's what the Gemara answers over here. Many times the Lashon Yisrael, when you talk about an entity, that's true in Hebrew in general. When you talk about a plurality of items, you usually use the plural. But a plurality of items, if it's a single entity, can be referred to as in the singular form, like chevra, like a company. A company, right, is referred to in the singular form, even though it really is made up of multiple parts or multiple people. Nevertheless, you form it. So a unity. So same thing over here. Bnei Israel, even though they're made up of multiple people, they're still referred to as in a singular form. Israel, Noshaba Hashem, Tushat Alomim. So there you see Israel, Noshaba Hashem. It's doing it in the Tushat Alomim. It's talking in the singular form. Shlomo Nami, Midaka Merachmata. Right? So, but Halokim Rachmata. He knew this woman was crying. The other woman wasn't crying. So Ella said, it can't be. He knew because the other one, meaning if they were to trick him, they both should have been crying. But here, only one woman cried, not the other one. So Ella Gemara, we have a Mesorah. That's the Mesorah. The Mesorah is that these were three places where the Bat Kol stepped in. Not that it was necessary for the Bat Kol to step in, but it did step in anyway to give a stamp of approval.
It wasn't necessary why you wanted to ask him.
To show that Hashem gave a stamp of approval over here, he was on board. All right, this famous Gemara, Darish Rabbi Shimlai, Sheish Melot, Shloshim Sve Mitzvot, Nem Lulam Moshe. There are 613 mitzvot. That's what caused the headache for all the Monei mitzvot. That's where it comes from, because there are 613 mitzvot. There's no way, we don't know there are 613 mitzvot. If you were a Monei mitzvot, you would have come up with a different number. Now that we have the number 613, all the Monei mitzvot try to come up with principles or ways to include get to 613. So they have to leave some out, they have to change, they have to give up principles, whatever it is, they have to come up with the 613 mitzvot. So now it becomes harder. Not only are there 613 mitzvot, but there's 365 like the days of the year, one for each day, meaning that every day we warn him not to be over and avira. And 248 positive commandments, like the limbs of a person, that call aver. Each limb of the person says, "Aseh mitzvah, let me do a mitzvah." So that's what the idea is. Amar Rabbi Amnuna, Mikra, what's the pasuk? Torah tzivalana Moshe, Marasha, Vilat Yaakov. Torah tzivalana Moshe. Moshe gave us Torah. What's the gematria of Torah? Gematria of Torah is 611. Shit me'ah b'chadzarei, 611. And the first two of the Seder Dibro we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah Tzivalana Moshe, Moshe gave us 611, Hashem gave us two, that equals 613 mitzvot, and that's what pushed all the Monei mitzvot to find 613 mitzvot, but also get 365 lotaseh and 248 positive commandments. Okay, we'll stop over here.